Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show, the Friday edition here on KSEV AM 700. I'm your host, Nathan Ross. It's good to be back from, 5 days ago, I guess. We did a show on Sunday at 7 a.m. And I don't have my associate riding shotgun today. It's just me, myself, and I guess. But anyway, we're glad you could join us. And we hope you learn something, or maybe hear of a strategy or planning opportunity that could benefit your wealth creation, whether it's current cash flows or whether you're trying to get to some magical number for retirement. And, you know, it's the case with most Americans that we're behind on what we need to retire. And, you know, if you thought you had your $1 million and that's enough, I got news for you. It's going to be a lot more than $1 million. And, you know, I would tell you that for most people, I think the new million is somewhere between 3 million and maybe 5 million when you take into account the longevity risk that we all have now. You know, the IRS's life expectancy tables show that you're going to live to a ripe old age of 85 to 86 if you're male, and 87, 88 if you're female. And, of course, those are, I guess, actuarial averages. And none of us are average, as I'm often prone to saying. We're all actual. And but I'll take it if we can get it. The wonders of modern medicine would be what I would think of. But anyway, you've got another problem besides the longevity risk, or at least if you believe the surveys or the news polls that are done with our elderly population or near elderly, and that is not just a longevity risk, we've got a tax rate risk. And that's why we, the Be a Planner Show, and N.P. Ross CPAs, and Dan Dubose CPA, that's why we exist. We're working to help you create investment income streams that get you to the zero tax rate by the time you get to retirement. It's hard for us to do it while you've got a W-2 or you've got a bunch of self-employment income, although I'll take the latter. We can definitely moderate some of that SE tax that is the bane of our self-employed existence, for those of you that are like me. And but once we get you to the point where instead of going to the office every day, you do whatever makes you happy. And it might still be something that makes money, you know, good for you if that's the case. We've got some better options at that point, perhaps, to throttle that tax that you pay downward. And especially if you get interested in investing in the real estate private partnership space, which is what most of our clients and ourselves are doing. And depending on your approach, I mean, there's multiple ways of executing. There are really some great tax benefits associated with active participation in the real estate private partnership syndication market, or not syndicated. There are plenty of opportunities in the small apartment space, which is an area that I've been in for a while, and I'm beginning to think and realize that, hey, that's where the money is. the bigger projects have bigger fees. And, you know, when you take a big project and hit what should be a grand slam, to put it in baseball parlance, and yet it only results in a single because the passive investor is getting the crumbs. It's the lead partner, syndicator, sponsor — we use multiple terms for that role — they're pulling fees out up front and during the interim that don't leave near as much meat on the bone when you exit. And that's when most of the passive money is structured in most transactions to then come out to the passives. Well, you know, you don't have to put up with that. You've got opportunities to network, get to know people that buy real estate and work within smaller groups. They don't need to syndicate, perhaps, because they're not selling a security. And we'll talk more about that, because we're seeing more and more of our clients that are interested in that model. And, you know, most people that have been exposed to the real estate private partnership market, you've got some contacts, and you know, you may be surprised to learn some of your compadres, as the case may be, feel the same way that I do, and maybe you do. I don't know. Some people enjoy giving others their money and tell them, you know, hey, just make sure you send me a check periodically, and I'm happy. And there's nothing wrong with that, if that's, you know, how you feel comfortable undertaking your investment. But I know that there's trade-offs in this big model versus small model, and some of the trade-offs just depends on your vantage point, are worth encountering. And, you know, capital dilution doesn't bother some people. So, you know, when you give somebody $100,000 to go into a particular project, and, you know, the fees that come out up front, you know, day zero is what I call it, and then the assorted fees throughout end up diluting your capital down to where maybe half or even less is actually in the asset working for you. The rest of it's going into the syndicator or the teams, the management team's pockets, as either a acquisition fee, a capital raise fee, a debt placement fee, a due diligence fees. Let's see, that's all on the very front end, day zero. And then you likely will have some sort of project or construction management fee, some of which will be paid up front. And then if you refinance, which so many of these projects do, once they stabilize and get the rents up to a market level, then you'll have a refinance fee. I left off a debt guarantee fee. That happens on the front end in many cases. And then, of course, the promote occurs on the front end. That would be the override that the syndicator or his or her team is getting. That's going to range anywhere from 5%. There's a few of those still left. Up to, I saw a deal. In fact, we talked about it on the air this past Sunday and a little bit Friday a week ago, that Pittsburgh transaction where the syndicator was taking a 60% promote. I'm sorry, a 40% promote. The passive was getting 60. But truthfully, that was after they got you back a cumulative 9%. Compounded, I believe it was, 9% on your investment. So it wasn't as bad, perhaps, as what I inadvertently made it sound like. But it's still a healthy percentage. You don't see many deals that get up past the 50% mark, and that's usually after a certain internal rate of return is achieved. But all these fees and these outrageous promote levels have all really just started to show up in the last 3 to 4 years. Back in the good old days, you know, only 3 or 4 years ago, there were none of the extemporaneous fees. There was a promote, usually in the 15 to 25% range, there were an asset management and a property management fee, an obligatory, if you will, 5%. That is still the case. That's quote normal. But anything past that is not normal, in spite of what the syndicators may say. And no matter how loudly and repeatedly they talk about all the work they do on the front end, well, you know, that's what you're getting the 5 to 50% promote override. That's what you're getting that for. You know, how much more do you need out of a deal, right? And so I caution you against going into these transactions, investing in these transactions where that significant amount of capital is coming out to the organizers' pockets. Because, you know, last time I checked, lenders don't fund those fees. You know who funds the fees? That's right, you do, as a passive investor. And especially in today's market where we've got unknown interest rates clicking upward each time the Fed raises the rates, and they're not done yet. They're pausing, hoping that they're done, but I don't think they are, and many other people don't think they are. Mortgage rates are still heading upward. There's some issues with the T-bill market or the Treasury market that make it look like rates are continuing upward. And bottom line is you're going to be waiting around for crumbs on a transaction if you allow these fees to be taken out up front. There are some heretofore quality syndicators that are in trouble on some of their deals. They're either letting properties go back pre-foreclosure to the lender, or they're putting cash calls out, asking their partners for more money, which I'm going to caution you. You better understand what you're signing up for on that front, just as you should at the outset. That's what we do. We try to help you understand what you're signing up for. And when you tell me, well, hey, how do I avoid these scenarios? How do I know what the fees are, where they're coming out, etc.? You know, syndicators are a crafty lot. They're a sly group. They remind me of the coyote, the Wile E. Coyote character. And by the way, coyotes are some of the craftiest creatures on the planet. And I know I've got one of my associates lives on the edge of civilization out in the, well, I'll just say in a Houston suburb. And she has a well-lit backyard that her big dog can roam around in. And those coyotes stay just outside the shadow, in the shadow, and try to bait that dog to come on out and, quote, play, unquote, or end quote. And I tell you, it's amazing how true to caricature form the roadrunner that they are. But anyway, let's do this before we get into our current batch of news articles, which are out on the BAPlannerShow.com site, which is our companion site. I added, let's see, how many did I add today? Looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I added 5 new articles, and probably get a few more up on the site by Sunday's show. But in any event, we'll talk about some of them when we circle back here in a few minutes with more of the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more. Concerned about
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. Nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I didn't just realize, actually I did it intentionally today. I didn't mention that if you hear anything, as I normally do in the top segment, if you hear anything on the show today you're interested in, want to pursue it further, as a possible strategy for your facts and circumstances, I suggest you talk to your existing advisors. If your advisors consult in these areas, you know, we work at the four-way stop of real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation, real estate private partnership syndications, and zero tax math. And that's pretty distinct, four distinct areas, and I'm not saying this to brag, I'm just observing. I don't see any other CPAs that do what we do, and if there is, send them to me. I'd like to add them to our team because we need more people. We're in five radio markets now, San Antonio, Houston, Phoenix, Seattle, San Bernardino, Riverside, L.A. It's a big slice that cuts up there to L.A., a huge radio listenership there. But we're going to go into other markets soon. I want other CPAs. I'm getting too old to do tax returns. I'm shoveling all those over to Mr. Dan DuBose, my normal sidekick here on the show. But you know, Dan is too old to be doing tax returns. He just doesn't know it yet. He loves it. And, you know, we're happy, or I'm happy, that I've got a guy with his background, skill set, and knowledge base. Dan is remarkable on his tax acumen to crank out tax returns. But we'll do all the tax work you can give us. It's just Nathan is not going to be doing it. So for what that's worth, I don't know. But that's not where the value is. The value is in planning, and we plan, all of us plan, and we know that's what makes the most throughput or the most value for our client is saving you those tax dollars that allow you to invest in more transactions. And if you don't think it's a lot of money, hey, talk to us, and we will show you a projection on what the tax savings can translate to. If you've got pre-tax retirement money that we can tap to put in the transactions, and don't think for a minute that you got to be old like Dan and I, i.e. over 59 and a half, and I'll not provide further disclosure. I have before. Any of you that listen to the show, you know we're both elderly, I guess would be the term. But you don't have to be over 59 and a half, and you don't have to quit your job. And yet, I would hazard a guess, if you ask almost any CPA how you can access your 401 funds if you're 52, as an example, or 46, or, I don't know, 23. Yeah, you may have gotten lucky on some transactions in your pre-tax account or Roth, and there's a way that we can tap those funds to let you control the money, invest in real estate, and do whatever makes you happy. And, you know, that's our three bullets as to what we're about. But the problem is, as I hear all the time, what I was going to say, and I got sidetracked as usual, if you don't have advisors that consult in these areas, go to our website, baplanner.com, and in the top right corner, you'll see two links that are important for you. You can use them both. First, click the forms and go fill out at least the first two steps there, client profile and retirement profile, if you have pre-tax or Roth retirement dollars. And then after you fill those forms out, click the call link at the far top right and schedule a call. And in any event, I was just looking at a form that came in just as the show was starting. And by the way, I get all those requests for calls, and I get all the submission reforms, and I disseminate those to a couple other folks on our team. And but I look at them, and I like the we ask you to, as briefly as possible, let us know how we can help you on our call request. And this gentleman said, I am retired, always interested in passive real estate investing, never done it, gets complicated. And I would second that notion. It's not as complicated if you eat it for breakfast like we do, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to mention Wile E. Coyote again, because these syndicators are a crafty lot. And boy, do they have they learned how to change things up and slide things in. As an example, side letters are now becoming, I'm going to say with tongue in cheek, best practices. And side letters never existed. I don't think they existed before about a year ago. And now we're seeing I won't say almost every transaction, but I'll just say they're in a lot of them where it basically gives the syndicator, this is the person you're trusting your money to. You've never met them in most cases, and you're just hoping they make you money. And yet they're doing things like the side letter where they can effectively at any point unilaterally, without worrying about giving you a chance not to be diluted, in other words, not to invest your pro rata share of whatever amount of money they're getting ready to raise from another party that's walking up late, they can do whatever they want to do with that party. They can promise them whatever type of special favors they need, like a private equity firm that, you know, private equity firms, as a couple of the lead partners I consult with have often lamented, is like, I say, man, those guys are tough, aren't they? They're tougher than, or they're as tough as the mafia, is my words. And they'll say, no, it's tougher, or they're tougher than the mafia in terms of the demands they make. And so, you know, a side letter to me should be illegal. I just don't understand. And again, when you look at the entirety of the crowdfunding space, it's remarkable that there's no regulation to speak of. I mean, there's a little bit of regulation on the front end in that you offer your project under typically one of two statutes, either the 506B or the 506C sections. And basically, the 506B allows non-accredited investors, those with less than $1 million in net worth, not counting the equity in their home, or they don't make at least $200,000 a year for the past 3 years from a either a self-employment or a W-2 job, 300 if they're married. And bottom line is 506B is the type of transaction that you can invest in. 506C are restricted to accredited investors, those that make more or that have more than $1 million net worth. And the 506C variety are the ones that you usually may have seen or heard of, because those allow you to, as a syndicator, allows you to promote or advertise. You can solicit investors. So on the one hand, you know, the 506C variety is what a syndicator might prefer, because they've got less of a fiduciary obligation, since if you're accredited, the SEC basically says, well, you're sophisticated enough, you don't need much of our protections, and so it's not necessarily that you're on your own, but for purposes of getting into a transaction, that's how you should think of it. But in any event, the syndications that you might choose to invest in can come from any one of a number of sources. There's plenty of syndicators these days where you can invest directly with those organizations, or you might choose to join one of the old school mentor platforms. I call them the old travel agent, just as a parallel. You know, when's the last time you booked your flight or found your flight through a travel agent? Just doesn't happen anymore, right? So in any event, but the SEC, once those transactions are, that you file a disclosure statement, I guess you might call it, I don't think that's the official term, but once that's filed, there's no follow-up. There's zero regulation. Unless there's a complaint lodged, there's no audit requirement, annual audit, there's none of that stuff. It's the wild, wild west in terms of government oversight. And that's good on the one hand, it's bad on the other hand. And you better do your due diligence on who you're signing, not just what you're signing up for. We can handle that stuff, but you better do your due diligence on who you're signing up with. And that's not necessarily something we're going to do for you. We'll tell you if we know anything, but it's all we can do to get our hands around the pro formas and read the several hundred pages of documents to understand what this transaction is about versus the last 80 that we may have looked at. So anyway, if you need help with that, feel free to, again, fill out, go to the baplanner.com website, and go to the forms link, top right, and then submit a call request, and we'll be happy. This is all free of charge. We don't bill anybody until we tell you we're billing you. You'll know. You'll get a nice little present in your email. It's called an invoice, and then we will commence to undertaking your project if we can sync up and create value. And if we can't, we'll pass on it, because, again, we're old. We need our time more than we need our money. And until you get old, you won't understand that. I used to hear that all the time and think, yeah, yeah, right. And I'm telling you, now that I am 63, I'll take time over money almost any day of the week at this point. So anyway, okay, so now that I've gotten that little announcement out of the way, and we hope we'll hear from some of you, as we do every week. It seems like we have at least several calls come in, get scheduled, and I will point out that we do those calls in the evening most of the time, because I am currently 13 hours ahead of the central time zone. I am, let's see, the Arizona time zone, I am 14 hours ahead of. California, I'm 15. And, you know, it just makes it easier for us old guys to talk in the morning. We're going to let you young folks be on the late end of the candle at that point. Okay, let's talk quickly about some of the news, and then we're going to talk about, I think, the 401 trust and some Roth conversion issues. Let's see how it goes here on the news. Let's see. The first article I wanted to mention is the apartment markets that should outperform in 2004. And let me get that article up here. The key question is what will happen in the first half of 2024, because we're going to have a spike in supply levels. There's more units coming online, and it's significant. And obviously in the markets where there's going to be a lot of new supplies, landlords may have to shave rents or at least hold them flat. But some of the markets that are referenced in the article, Midland, Texas, with no new construction, has experienced a 13% effective rent growth. That's a stout number. Not many markets that have done that. Springfield, Massachusetts, 8.6% growth in the rent rate. Other metros in this category mentioned here are Madison, Wisconsin, Rochester, New York, Fargo, North Dakota, College Station, Texas, Champaign, Urbana, Buffalo, New York, Lincoln, Nebraska. You know, it's crazy with all the bad publicity in the media about inflation, et cetera, and starting to see some layoffs, that there's still these bright pockets around the country. And again, I'm going to remind you, most of these articles, especially the ones that are national in focus, are talking about averages. And what did I say about that? We're not average. None of us are average. We're actual, or normal, I guess would be the proper way of saying it. But anyway, contrasting those bright spots, we got 10 markets where rent was cut, not just a decline in rental rate growth, but cut more than 3.5%. All had construction rates bringing new supply into the market well above the national norm. The worst declines were in Boise, Idaho. 15.4% construction rate caused a 6.4% slump in effective rent, and in Austin, Texas, where construction rose 14.4% and rental rate slipped 5.9%. That's not new news. We look pretty closely at the major Texas markets and submarkets. Seems like that's still where the majority of our transactions are taking place. Phoenix to a certain extent, but I tell you, Texas is an amazingly resilient market at the moment, and for that matter, has been historically. Let's see here. Let's take another article. This one is near and dear to my heart. I thought for a moment someone had been listening to the radio program. The article that, let's see, it's the third one in. It is titled, "Is the U.S. Going to Have to Raise Taxes?" I'm going to tell you that is missing a word there on the front, which is when is the U.S. going to have to raise taxes. It is not if, friends, it's when. And why do I say that so emphatically? Because we're running out of the last piece of the discretionary budget to spend every year. It's dropping like a rock. And, you know, right now we're faced with, well, we're kicking the can down the road. It looks like it's going to get kicked for a couple months into January. There will be no deal on the budget here by the mid-November deadline we have now. It's not going to happen. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't read the article, but I saw a headline slip by today where they recessed today, and so there's no way they get a deal done. And well, I think they got 8 days left on the current CR, so I guess they'll put something together remotely that they'll have to live with. But in any event, I tell you what, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and pick up on why you need to be watching for 2029 or 30. That needs to be your time horizon to get Roth conversion finished, not started, and be in a zero tax rate position, especially if you're headed to retirement. We'll be right back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, the Friday edition.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it.
Man, you're pulling Dolly out of the hat here.
Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm it up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show, the Friday edition with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I tell you, that Dolly song is appropriate. I need some of these syndicators to do that. You know, woman up, take it like a man. And that's a great song once you listen to it closely and understand what she's saying there. In any event, we were just starting to talk about the article that I've got out on the BA Planner show Radio.com site. It's our companion site for the radio. And we have a resources page out there that at the moment just has news articles. We're getting very close to putting up some video and podcast links that are notable for different reasons that for those of you that are interested in the different categories of content that we opine on each week, will give you some additional knowledge base and understanding if you'll follow up on those. But in any event, the article was talking about is the U.S. going to have to raise taxes? That it's a foregone conclusion. For the first time in my 40 years practicing as a CPA, I've heard many times the tax rates have to go up. Tax rates have to go up. And I finally ignored it until I realized from listening to Mr. David McKnight and reading his The Power of Zero book, New York Times bestseller, which I'm going to encourage you to download it, put it on your Kindle, or get it on Audible. It's a good listen, just as good a listen as it is a read. And then he's got, I know he's got three New York Times bestsellers. It may be four, but the second one is Look Before You LERP. LERP stands for Life Insurance Retirement Plan, a great alternative to a Roth. And if it's structured correctly, the distributions you take, or loans, I guess I should say, if they're structured correctly, you don't need to pay them back. You don't pay tax on those loans. In fact, they're not even reported to the IRS, such as your Roth is, where, you know, there's a 1099 filed that, you know, if it's a qualified distribution, it's not taxable, but the cash value life insurance that is used for the LERP is even better. And then the other book that's notable, let's see, there are four. So let's see, the third one is The Volatility Shield. It's kind of a quasi-novel that illustrates the impact of how the index universal life policies that we recommend for the cash value operate and the benefits that they provide. And if you were like me, where you really poo-pooed the concept of life insurance, it may change your mind as it has mine. And when you look at the four ways that an index universal life policy provides you benefits, and we can talk about this off air if you care to connect with me or Dan, and it'll change your mind. And yes, it's not a cheap form of insurance, but it's a great value because of what you get out of it. And then lastly, McKnight's latest book, or let's say B's second from the most recent, is a book called Tax-Free Income for Life. And that's pretty much our playbook for how we get you to the zero tax rate. So I would urge you to pick up all of those, and I think it'll change the way you think about the U.S. tax train that's coming barreling down the tracks. And I'll tell you, at the rate we're spending, in fact, it may be 2028 when we get there, when you look at the fact that right now we are, just as of recently, going to hit the $1 trillion a year mark just in the interest cost of what we've borrowed. Just in the interest cost, we are at $1 trillion. And if I go, as I did this past Sunday and past Friday, a week ago, I checked in with the usdebtclock.org. Strongly recommend you bookmark that site, although it will make you nauseous if you begin to realize just how bad off we are. And if this won't do it, bookmark the truthinaccounting.org. Truth in Accounting has got extensive resources for the federal debt problem, as well as the, I believe it's the top 75 U.S. cities. And there's not many of them that aren't in deep trouble when you look at the status of their fiscal responsibilities. But in any event, my U.S. debt clock site is up, but it's still whirling through the calculations to update all of these fields. So I'll keep an eye on that. When the values actually fill in, we'll check and see how much it's gone up since this past Sunday. But in any event, if you don't think this is a big deal, the problem that we've got with the deficit, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a depression the likes of which this country has never seen. It'll make 2029 will make 1929 seem like a kindergarten picnic, relatively speaking, because when we run out of the remaining part of our discretionary budget and can't cover 100% of the interest on the debt from those that have purchased T-bills, that's a problem, and that's never happened. And so, you know, you can do one of two things. You can cut spending. When's the last time we did that significantly? And when's the last time we did it, period? I remember a balanced budget amendment back, I don't know, when was that? The Graham-Rudman Act or bill or whatever. I've forgotten. I want to say it was in the 90s at some point. But how long did that last? How many balanced budgets have we had since then? It's like these people forget. They pass a law and then forget about it. Or it's like, well, you know, this war popped up or that war popped up, and so we don't have a choice. We got to go print more money to pay for it. And now it looks like we've got at least two wars that have popped up, and we're heading to a third with, I'm thinking, with Taiwan and or Philippines in the South China Sea. And, you know, we're on the hook for both those, or at least we've said we are, even though I don't think we've got a formal NATO commitment with Taiwan. But we're not going to stand by and watch China take it over. And in the meantime, the Chinese are flying jets within 10 feet of one of ours, you may have noticed, this past week, or maybe it was last week. But anyway, it's crazy how fast the debt's accumulating. So I believe Sunday we were up, or maybe it was Friday a couple days earlier, we were at $33,640 billion. Well, now we're at $33,713,640,000,000. It's like these numbers are hard for my feeble caveman accountant brain to process, but that's what I'm seeing. And again, the interest, let's see, they break that down somewhere here. Well, I don't see it. There's so many numbers. Oh, here we go. U.S. total interest paid. Is that 3 trillion? No, that can't be. The interest is going to be about a trillion just this year. So I'm not sure what. Oh, that's the unfunded interest. Not sure what period that's over, but the debt to GDP, U.S. federal debt to GDP ratio, they show 125% or 124. Other economists say it's much closer to 150%, and it doesn't matter. It's horrible that we're in that predicament in any event. But, oh, the interest on the debt net at this moment, I believe this is just the current fiscal year. I don't believe it's calendar. Maybe it is. I need to get some definitions on some of these calculations, but it's $679 billion as of this moment, if you look at that site. The Medicare and Medicaid budget deficit is, or at least the portion of the budget, is $1.5 trillion. Social Security is 1.4. Defense is $800 billion. These are huge numbers, and I, you know, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, but it's getting ready to be in sight and probably in mind as we get closer and closer to 2029. So what do we do? How do we avoid this at an individual level? And I'm telling you, if you've got pre-tax retirement money, you really don't have a choice, because if you think about your balances, and if you told me, well, Nathan, yeah, I'm okay. I got $3 million in my 401 and in my pre-tax 401, and I'm going to tell you, no, you don't, because you're not accounting for the chunk that your private your silent partner is going to yank out of there. That would be the government, the IRS. And now all of a sudden, you're probably less than half, because if you wait, the rates are going to go higher. And so, you know, if you just did nothing more than executed a conversion while your funds were at Schwab or Fidelity, et cetera, that would be better than nothing. But, you know, there's a better path, and it involves real estate private partnerships. And if you were to roll your funds over into a self-directed model, which we can help you with, and then invest those funds in real estate private partnerships, you get private company discounts on calculating the tax base from which you will pay your Roth conversion tax. And I'm not going to get into the details other than to tell you it's significant valuation discounts. It's far less expensive to convert than it is at the private partnership investment level than if you're invested in AT&T and Apple and companies that are publicly traded, because of the lack of marketability discounts we get, the lack of majority control, and 20-some-odd other discounts. Look at a private placement memorandum. Look at the risk factors that are specified, and that gives you some feel for what the discounts would involve. But in any event, we're coming to the end of the show. I hear the music in the background. I got a little bird in my ear reminding me. And so I'm going to sign off here shortly. But thank you for listening. Connect with us via our BA Planner website, the forms, and the call. And we'll be happy to see how we can help you achieve your objectives. We'll be back Sunday, 7 a.m., if you'd like to tune in.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Ooh.